Why don't we stand and go to the word of the Lord, Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. We're going to read a few scriptures here. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul and all of his shipmates were in a storm, and they ended up in a shipwreck, but God saved their life. And some of you have been through a storm. It's interesting how sometimes what's going on in the natural is a connection to what's going on in the spiritual. Amen. I can't tell you how many times that there has been a divine move of the Holy Ghost, but right before that service or right before that whatever breakthrough, whatever it was, there was something that happened naturally. Come on, I feel this tonight. We're seeing hail, we're seeing storms, we're seeing trouble and chaos in the weather, but there's also a moving in the spirit. There's some trouble, there's some stirring, there's some things that are happening, and people are fighting some battles maybe you've not fought before, and you're going through some things that you've not faced before. You're fighting some demons perhaps that you've never fought things like this, but there's things that are happening spiritually. There's a storm going on, but I believe that there's a victory coming. I believe there's a victory coming. Hallelujah. Does anybody just claim that in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. Acts chapter 28. Verse 1, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped from the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked, when he should have fallen, or when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Not something. They knew what kind of snake that was. They knew what kind of viper it was, and they were just watching, just waiting for him to fall over. But Paul didn't. And they said, something's going on here. Something's going on here. I want to talk to us tonight about the attack before the victory. The attack before the victory. Praise the Lord. Would you pray and ask God to work tonight? Lord, we ask that you would work. We ask that you would move in this place. We ask that your spirit would go forth, Lord, and that your word would go forth in this house, that there would be victory tonight, Lord, that there would be encouragement. I pray that you would make a way, Lord, in situations. I pray that you would open doors tonight. I pray that you would encourage somebody who's in the middle of a storm. I pray, God, that you would bring victory. I pray that you bring victory. Don't let us give up, Lord, before the victory. Don't let us turn around before the victory, Lord. Don't let us forsake the will of God in our life, but let us cling to faith right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're able. God, you're able. We're trusting you through the storm. We're standing on your promises through the storm. Lord, we're clinging to hope right now because you're our hope. Lord, you're our hope. You're our victory. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Christians love to live in victory. We really love to be on the mountaintop, to be able to tell our story of how God came through for us. And how exciting to hear about all the goodness of God. We heard some great reports tonight, things that God has done and how he supplied our needs and made a way and worked a miracle. We love to tell the story of the great things that God has done for us, but in order to have that testimony, in order for us to be able to tell about the victory that God gave us, we have to go through a fight first. Come on, we have to experience the fight. We have to go through the storm in order to have that testimony. We have to suffer a little bit before we can talk about the delivering power of God's presence. There's an old song we used to sing. It says, there's not a victory without a fight. There's not a sunrise without a night. There's not a purchase without a cost. And there's not a crown without a cross. How true that is. We love to have the victory. We love to tell about the miracle. We love to give a report of how God moved. But before the victory, there's got to be a battle. Before the breakthrough, there's going to be an attack. Before we come through something, we have to come through it. If you're in that situation tonight, I want to encourage you. I want you to know that if you keep trusting the Lord, if you keep on being faithful, if you keep pushing forward, slowly but surely, you're going to have a testimony. There's going to be a testimony about what God brought you through. There's going to be a testimony about how God made a way. You're going to be able to brag about the goodness of God. Come on, no doubt there's somebody here right now. You're in the making of a miracle. You're in the making of a miracle. God has a miracle for you. You keep on fighting your way through this. You keep on having faith in the Word of God. You keep on trusting in God. There's a testimony on the way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can't tell me how many times I've lifted my hands up and said, God, I praise you for the miracle report. I praise you for the miracle report. Maybe it was for this or for that, but I was going through something. I was experiencing something, but I said, Lord, this is not the end of this. I'm going through this right now, but there's a miracle on the other side. Come on, there's an answer to prayer on the other side. Somebody here needs tonight to know that there's a miracle in the making. Don't throw in the towel. Don't you dare give up, but keep pressing forward to victory. Hallelujah. The background of the story that we read tonight was that Paul and the others on the ship, they had just been through 2 weeks of hell on earth. For 2 weeks, the storm had driven the ship from the island of Crete in the Mediterranean Sea, south of Greece, some 500 miles to the tiny island of Malta, south of Italy and Sicily. 276 men on that ship. They had feared for their lives as this storm called Euroclydon. The storm was so bad it had a name. That's a bad storm. But it drove their ship to a destination they did not know. They couldn't see the sun, they couldn't see the moon or the stars. They threw everything overboard that they could in order to lighten the ship. And they were prepared to die. But in the midst of that uncertainty and fear, Paul addresses those on the ship and he says, don't you worry. Don't worry. No one's going to die. No one's going to die. He said, we're going to lose the ship, but nobody is going to die. Because an angel appeared to me and told me, he told me we're going to make it through. They finally made it to some land. They didn't know where they were. The storm drove the ship up on the rocks. All of them were able to escape the ship and swim to shore. It was a miracle that not one of them was lost. That was a miracle. And they soon found out that they were washed up on the shore of the island of Malta. It's a tiny island, only about 17 miles long and 9 miles wide. It's located 47 miles south of Sicily, which is south of Italy. The name Malta means refuge. Think about this with me. If it wasn't for the storm, Paul would have probably never visited Malta. If it wasn't for the storm taking them out of their way to a destination they had not planned, he would have probably never gone there. It's something how God will often use storms in our life to bring us to a place that maybe we would have never gone there on purpose. We would have never experienced some of those things because we wanted to. No, we didn't want to go there. We didn't want to have to go through that. Maybe sometimes it's a storm that brings us into contact with lives that we would have never touched if we hadn't been through that time of trouble. If it wasn't for the storm, we wouldn't have the record of the miracles that God did there on the island of Malta. For some of you here tonight, when you're able to look back on all the things that God has done and the things God has brought you through, come on, you're going to be able to say, if it wasn't for the storm, if it wasn't for the storm, there's so many good things that I would have missed out on. There's so many things in the middle of that trial that I'm so thankful for. Come on, somebody, today there's going to be a testimony. You're going to be able to say, God brought me through it. God brought me through it. He took me through the storm. Don't think that they washed up on that island by accident. Don't think it was just by chance that the storm blew them there. And don't think that God can't use our situation, our trial, the battle we're facing. Don't think that God hasn't already seen ahead through the storm and all the turmoil and all the strife, and that He's got a plan. Now they're safe there on land, and they've come through the storm. They've been able to swim out of the sea, and some were riding on broken pieces of the ship. It was cold. It was raining. And so the people of the island built a fire. That's just what they needed. They were wet. They were miserable. They'd almost lost their lives. They'd probably swallowed a lot of salt water. And now there's a fire to warm up by. It was cold. It was raining. I'm going to tell you, the fire is what people still need today. They've been battered by the world. They're drowning in depression. They're soaked in sorrows. They're cold and lonely, and they need a fire to warm them, to comfort them. Aren't you thankful that we know where to find a fire? Hallelujah. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like a good fire to warm your soul. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't try to dampen the fire down. Let the fire burn. Come on, we need the fire to burn in our services. We need the fire to burn in our worship team. We need the fire to burn in our preaching. It needs to burn in our Sunday school classes. It needs to burn in every usher. It needs to burn in every greeter. There needs to be a fire of the Holy Ghost. So when people come in and they're cold and they're lonely and they're miserable from the things of this world, there's a fire to warm them and to comfort them. When somebody is set on fire by the Spirit of God, it doesn't just change a few things in their life. It changes everything. Their life is completely transformed. Their whole way of thinking is changed because of the power of the Holy Ghost. How many people in Springfield have been through so much? And they're hurting. They're broken. They've lost hope. They don't know. They don't even know there could be a difference in their life. They need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Now, they don't know what that is. So we've got to share it with them. But we've got to be full of the Holy Ghost and fire so that everywhere we go, people recognize and they feel a difference that's in us. Amen. And I've had it. You've had it. Hopefully you've had it. People say, there's something different about you. There's something different about this church. I feel something different. And they don't even know for sure what it is, but I know this. They're being drawn to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has to draw people. The Spirit of God has to draw people. Don't you think that, don't think that God's not able to do it. And we think, well, that person would never want this. That person, they don't want to come to church. That person isn't looking for this apostolic truth. No, I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God starts to draw people. Starts to lead people. Amen. And when there's a fire, it starts to draw things. It happened. Not only does it draw good things, but it stirs up other things as well. Paul had been through so much, but now he's safe, or so he thought. And as they build that fire, he's out helping to gather fuel for it, and he picks up some sticks, he throws them on the fire, and there was a snake in the middle of those sticks. It hadn't been moving so much in the cold weather, but when it got close to the fire, it came alive. As soon as it got close to the fire, it's something how things will start to pop up when the revival fires start burning. Come on, things can be cold and dead, but you just let the power of God start moving, and you let revival start taking place, and you start letting kids get the Holy Ghost, and parents praying in the altar, and guests coming, and things will start to move. And spiritually, there'll be some spirits that start to rise up, and there'll be some snakes that start to move around. And I'm going to tell you, every time we see progress, every time there's revival and breakthroughs, there is always an attack. There's an attack that goes with that. There's things that are stirred up spiritually. You'll have good old saints that have been in the church for their whole life start fighting. You let people that they've been in this, but all of a sudden something offends them. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You get people talking and stuff start happening. What is it? The revival fire is starting to stir things up. And sometimes people haven't been praying like they should have been. And some people really aren't living like they should have been. And they were comfortable as long as there was no fire. But you let the fire start stirring things up, and all of a sudden something in their spirit's not comfortable. And it starts to burn some things out, and some things start revealing themselves. Hallelujah. Paul was at the peak of his ministry. He had planted churches. He had written letters that would live on in the Bible until our day. He had seen every miracle imaginable, even people raised from the dead. God had just used him in the saving of 276 people on that ship. And what does he get for all of that? He's attacked. Just when the fire started burning, at the height of his ministry, here comes a snake out of the fire to attack him, to destroy him, to stop what God had sent him to do. If that old snake would attack Paul at a time like that, then I think that we need to be ready for an attack in our own life sometimes. When good things are starting to happen, and when great services are taking place, and when people are being delivered, and that's when the enemy is threatened the most. And that's when Satan's attacks will be the strongest, because now he's backed into a corner, and now he's desperate, and now his kingdom is being threatened. Why do you think when I start preaching about certain spirits, all of a sudden you start seeing those spirits popping up? Because they were cool when they were undercover. They were just fine when nobody was calling them out. But when you start speaking about gossip, oh, come on. And when you start speaking about witchcraft, and when you start speaking about people needing deliverance, what? Come on. And all of a sudden things start getting uncomfortable. No, Pastor, I don't want you preaching the word on that one. No, Pastor, I don't want you calling that one out, because I'm comfortable like I am. And the spirit that's got a hold of me, it's comfortable being in the cool under the cover, but don't let the fire start burning. I want to tell you what this world needs. They don't need a cool, calm, collected church. They need somebody who's going to get a hold of the Holy Ghost and say there's some things that are they're undercover, but the fire's about to burn it out. And some of those people that say, you know what, Pastor, don't preach about that, because I've had them tell them in my office, Pastor, we know that's what the word says, but we're okay like we are. We don't want deliverance. We're okay just like it is. And sometimes those spirits get in the church. And in order for there to be true revival, that spirit is holding things back. The enemy gets desperate. He's backed into a corner. His kingdom is being threatened. And that's when he rises up. Paul didn't go looking for trouble. We don't go pick up snakes and then tell God, Lord, protect me. No, that's just dumb. That's just ignorant. I saw a snake the other day. I was doing some yard work, and I guess something stirred it up, and it was it was some kind of yard snake, but it was a big one. And it wasn't poisonous, but I didn't reach down and pick it up, Brother Wiggins. Yeah. My wife said, why didn't you kill it? I was like, well, they say they eat bad snakes. That's what they say. But, man, I want to tell you what, I saw that, and I didn't just stand there calm. I moved. I saw a video of this guy over in Tennessee or somewhere, West Virginia or something, they were having a church service, and all of a sudden they brought out these snakes and thought that that's going to prove their faith in the Lord. And I watched it. That snake went, bit him right in the ear, and he was going to act all tough and everything, and all of a sudden something was a little wrong, and they had to, and I think he died. I don't know if that was now, folks. Paul didn't go looking for trouble. And some people have twisted the word all around and said that, you know, well, that's how you proved your faith to the Lord. No, Paul didn't go looking for trouble, but trouble came looking for him. He was on trouble's radar, and it's likely that we are too. If we're doing something for God, come on, if we're a threat to the enemy's kingdom, then it's likely that we're on trouble's radar. But just look at what God did. He did it again, just like he's done all throughout the history of God's people. He took what the enemy meant to destroy, and he said, I'm going to turn this for something good. Don't you know God's still able to do that? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Yes, we may have to go through the attack. Come on, yes, we may have to fight a few battles. We may have to go through the storm, but we've got to remember and remember well, God is still able to take what Satan meant to do, and God can take it and he can turn it to a miracle. He can turn it into a witness. He can turn it into an open door that accomplishes his purpose. That viper came out of the fire and it latched onto Paul's hand. And immediately all the people gasped. They knew the poison of the snake. They knew how serious the attack was. And they said, surely this is some kind of horrible murderer. And God's just given him what he deserves. Can't you just, that's just like the enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser of the brethren. He'll use whatever he can, whoever he can, to start to accuse you. He'll bring up your past. He'll tell you all the reasons why God can't use you. After all, Paul was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. He had done some horrible things against the church before God converted him. And if he didn't have a right perspective of who he was now in the kingdom of God, that attack could have really hit home in his life. But he just, what does he do? He just shakes it off. He just shakes it off into the fire. He just shakes off what people wanted to say about him. He just shook off that attack. And I've come to tell somebody tonight, you're going through some things, but you need to shake it off. You need to shake it off. It Every once in a while, there'll be something that happens, and a thought will come to me. And I know it's not my thought. I know it's something the enemy has sent, and it's usually something, well, this is going to be a bad, or this is whatever. And immediately, you got to take control of that and say, no, I reject that. I don't receive that. I don't accept that. No. I'm not meant to have that in my life. I'm a child of God. I reject that right now in the name of Jesus. I shake it off. I shake it off. Come on. The enemy will say, no, you can't ever overcome that. You're going to be addicted forever. No, I reject that. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. The enemy will say, you'll never be used for God. You've done too much wrong in the past. I reject that right now. God is able to turn it around for my good. I've come to preach to somebody that what the enemy has meant to destroy you, don't give place to it. Don't receive it. Don't accept it. But shake it off right now. In the name of Jesus, I shake off that attack from the enemy. I shake off what's meant to destroy me. I shake off what the enemy's been speaking. I shake off what's plaguing my mind. I shake it off. I don't give place to it. I don't allow it. I reject it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, we've got to be a good warrior for Jesus Christ. We've got to be a good soldier. There's going to be an attack that comes, but God's already given you what you need to overcome it. God's already placed inside you the power that you need to walk on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We stand on the promises of God and we shake it off. Hallelujah. Paul shakes it off, and look what happened. When he didn't fall down dead, when nothing came of that attack, they changed their tune. And they said, this must be a god. And the chief of the whole island, Publius, he took Paul into his home, and Publius's father was sick. And Paul came in and prayed for him, and he was healed. And the word started spreading. And all of a sudden, all these people all over the island that were sick started coming and were healed in spite of the enemy's attack, in spite of something that looked like it was going to destroy Paul. God turned it for good, and they had revival in spite of the enemy's attack. We've got to make up our minds tonight. We're going to have revival in spite of what the enemy sends. Hallelujah. We're going to have victory in spite of the attack that comes. We're going to go forward in faith no matter how big the trial is that we're facing, because God is able and he's going to bring us through and he's going to take care of that attack. He's going to turn it around for victory. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? We like to ask God why. Why? God, why am I going through this? God, why haven't you delivered me yet? God, why is this happening to me? Why? If we look at all of this happening in Paul's life, why did God let him go through the storm? Why did God let that ship crash on the rocks? Why did this happen in Paul's life? Why did God let an attack come at him out of the fire? Later on, we see through all of this, God was using it all for his glory. Even the storm, even the darkness, even the unknown. Sometimes it's not that it's so bad, it's just the fear of the unknown. I don't know where I am, God. I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know what is waiting for me around the next corner. It's the unknown, and their ship was being driven through the wind and the rain, and they couldn't see where they were or where they were going, but God was using it all for his glory. Even the shipwreck, even the attack of that viper, if God did that for Paul, he can do it for me. He can do it for you. do, in the midst of the storm, I'm going to trust you. But what if it kills you? Then we win. Sometimes you just got to go to the worst possible outcome. Because most of the things we go through, it's not going to kill us. So just go ahead and go there. Okay, enemy. You think you're going to kill me? Okay. That's the best you got? Because I still win. Sometimes you got to go to the worst that he can do. The worst he could maybe do is kill you, but he can't do it unless God lets him. And so you keep trusting the Lord, and you keep praising God through the storm, and you keep worshiping in the middle of the trial. And Sister Tucker, you go on that car lot, and you look around, and you say, but God, you're able. But God, you're able. And even if you don't work the miracle, I'm still going to praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's something about that kind of faith that gets the attention of God, and God says, okay, well, just step back and watch what I'm about to do. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to somebody tonight about the attack that comes before the victory. You've been in the middle of an attack. There's been an attack on your family. There's been an attack on your mind. Come on, somebody needs to hear about this attack on your mind right now. The enemy's trying to drive you crazy. The enemy's trying to get you to throw in the towel. The enemy's trying to get you to give up on God. The enemy's trying to get you to turn back from serving the Lord. Hallelujah. There's been an attack on somebody's finances. There's been an attack on somebody's health. But I've come to tell somebody in the midst of that attack, I believe it's just a setup for a miracle. I believe it's just a door that God's about to open. I believe that God's about to make a way where there seems to be no way. Come on, somebody needs to come to this altar right now and shake some stuff off. You need to shake some stuff off into the fire. Come on, I reject that. I reject depression. I reject anxiety. I reject sickness. I shake it off right now. I shake off defeat. I shake off the worry. I shake off all of the things the enemy's trying to put on my mind. I shake it off right now. I don't come into agreement with that. That's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the enemy. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I stand on the word of God. The word of God is true. The word of God is faithful. The word of God